Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The Notorious OTB on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WinBet. Bet $50 at WinBet and get $200 in free bets. Bet big, win bigger with WinBet. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bets today. We're also brought to you by IP Vanish. IP Vanish is the official VPN of SGPN, and they're offering 70% off if you go to ipvanish.com/SGP. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. And make sure to check out Draft Day 2.0, starting August 9th at noon Pacific. Ryan Real Money Kramer will begin drafting for 24 hours straight. Fantasy Football Marathon will raise money for Daryl, a loyal listener who was injured in a motorcycle accident. Head to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/draftday for more details. Welcome, everybody, to the Notorious OTB, brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. You're going to hear me say this every week, basically, until September. It's a big weekend in horse racing. Why? Because Saratoga's running, Del Mar's running. You have big race weekends, and this weekend, it's a big one. It's the Whitney. That's right. The Whitney Stakes is this weekend. We got a nice little stakes card, and how's it going? I'm your host, Chase Sessoms, the Wolf of Oaklawn, and you know, I don't come alone. Wolves travel in packs. I've got with me, I'm going to slip up and call him Murphy a million times because that's his name on Discord, but Mr. Greg Calliwag, a great handicapper, multiple NHC qualifier. Usually if he's on a horse and I'm not, it means that I'm wrong and he is right. So be honored we have him here. Greg, man, how's it going today?
It's going good, man. Thanks for the introduction. Although I will say I have been so cold recently, not even I want to play what I bet.
I think I've only seen you cold one time, and that was when I was fortunate enough to go against you in a head-to-head in our March Madness a couple of years ago. Like it was, I did not expect to make it out of that one alive, but somehow I think it was Chess Chief. I think Chess Chief pulled me through it. Oh, so you want to? Do you want to help settle a debate real quick before we start?
All right.
There was a big to-do amongst friends yesterday regarding what constitutes early speed. What's your definition of early speed?
I would probably just say early speed. Like if I were looking at a horse with early speed, probably always first at least the first two pace calls is probably what I would probably say is early speed.
Okay, so not a Fordley place, but like definitely like on the lead is your yeah.
Pretty much on the lead. Yes,
that's mine as well. We never, you know, miss a shot chance to take a shot at Mark Capitan on the show. He had a wildly different explanation. We fought tooth and nail over it. He might have insinuated that he had sex with my wife because of it, and I laid down the law. Damn it, because no one has sex with my wife, including me. All right, let's talk. The Whitney card, what we're going to do is we are going to go through the late pick four on Saturday. It starts with race 9, the test. It's a 7 furlong, grade 1, and it's for 3-year-old fillies. Post time is 5:07 Eastern, so get in, get your pick four wagers in that we're going to help talk you through. I thought this was an interesting little race. And I mean, if Saratoga lives up to the nickname of Graveyard of Champions, then we've got one to take down here. You know, drawn the one hole with Matt Araya for Brad Cox, the Godolphin horse with Flavian Pratt up. But what are you thinking? Are you taking your shot against, or are you just leaning into the favorite?
So I am just going to lean into the favorite. I didn't think there was anyone here other than her that really interested me. I guess the only one who I kind of other looked at was the number five, November Rain. Kind of lightly raced, two wins at Saratoga. I went back and I've kind of looked through those two-year-old races, but those horses just suck. So I really don't know who she's beaten. On Thoroughgraphs, she got a pretty big number last time that could be competitive with Matt Araya. So, I mean, that was kind of the only thing that really stuck out for me. And, I mean, she is kind of lightly raced still, you know, all things considered. But I don't think she's going to end up being Matt Araya. If anything, I'd probably maybe use an exacta like Matt Araya on top and then November Rain, especially because November Rain is 10-1. I think you might get good value play that way, but for the purpose of like a pick four, I'm probably just going to single Matt Araya and move on.
Yeah, I think Greg's got the right idea here. I'm gonna go different, Bo, but I will point out we got a single.
I'm singing. I want to mingle.
You want to mingle?
Yeah.
Now got to get James in. So I mean, if you have a 2-5 favorite, you either have to single or you have to just completely be against. I'm gonna completely be against. I think that this post draw actually hurt Matt Araya quite a bit. I hate that inside post draw at 7 furlongs, and I do think it might be a little bit vulnerable given the pace scenario. You actually mentioned the horse I'm gonna use as my top pick. I mean, Matt Araya has been a champion, but nothing lasts forever in the cold November Rain. So I'm going with number 5, November Rain. I like the steady improve for Kelly Breen. Gets Saturday, Irad Ortiz. Not Wednesday or Thursday, Irad. Saturday, Irad. And so I'm going to be win betting that 5. And I'm playing a spready exact at 2-5 with 2-3-5-7. And then horizontally, I'm 2-3-5-7. Because if I'm going to take my shot to beat him, I want as many bullets in the money gun as possible. You know, as possible. So regardless of what happens here, one of us is going to be terribly wrong and the other one is going to be terribly right. Remember what I said about Greg usually being right and me usually being wrong. So it's a quick race, but we move on to what is the main course in this pick four, the Whitney. That's how you have to pronounce it. It's W-H, Whitney, like cool whip. It's 1 1/8. It is for 4-year-olds. It is a $1 million purse. This is an interesting race, I think. I think it's a really interesting race. What direction did you go with this?
Yeah, I thought the Whitney came out really interesting. I actually kind of, even though it's only a 6-horse field, I actually kind of struggled picking a horse. As far as the favorite Life Is Good is concerned, I've really always thought that Into Mischiefs were kind of distance limited to like 9 furlongs. And even though Life Is Good has won at 9 furlongs before, it was at a Gulfstream, which we all know is like pretty speed favoring and you can get away with a lot there. So
yep.
I'm really not sure. I really don't like Life Is Good in this spot. I kind of think the key horse to this race though is actually number 2, Hot Rod Charlie. I don't like Hot Rod Charlie, but if Life Is Good gets left out there alone, I think he's just gonna win. Even though I don't really like him at this distance. But if Hot Rod Charlie goes and he puts some pressure on Life Is Good, I like Olympiad or Happy Saver to come back and win. Olympiad on Time From Yes got a huge figure last time. I got a 137, which is even faster than anything Lifetime that Life Is Good has done.
Mm-hmm.
Olympiad, he doesn't seem like he needs the lead, although it seems like he prefers to be out there in front, you know? So that's kind of my other concern with Olympiad is that, okay, Life Is Good goes and Hot Rod Charlie goes. Well, then Olympiad, he might get burnt out there on speed. So, yeah, I mean, in Happy Saver, I kind of get bothered that he hasn't, like, really won in a while. You know, like, his last one was, like, in an allowance race. But we're in these grade one and grade two fields, like you're just going to get, you're not running against, you know, like easy horses.
Right.
I thought the Ali Sheba, I thought his run there was pretty good. And I don't think there's any way he was beating Flightline last time. So I think probably what I'll end up having on my pick four is going to be Olympiad and Happy Saver. And I'm going to try to beat Life is Good here for the favorite. But at 8-1 for Happy Saver, I think that is also just straight up win bet territory for me.
I have a soft spot in my heart for Happy Saver. I had a $14,000 pick six that paid with Happy Saver singled when he just tore ass up the rail in the, was it the, Jockey Club Gold Cup or whatever it was at Belmont. Mm-hmm. I'm with you on Olympiad. I think that this race shapes up really well for Olympiad. I think Olympiad's going to be sitting in a great spot. I also think you're correct. The Hot Rod Charlie pretty much has to go. I will be singling Olympiad in the pick four, but let me tell you who my long shot play I will be win betting here is. Number three is Zoomer. Just hear me out. Hear me out. A good friend of mine, a friend of the show, Tim Stedman, Titan of Litigation. His boss is owner of a horse named Indomage, who was in against Zoomer last race. And I guess he got to talk to Linda Rice before the race, and she was talking about how much, you know, how game this horse was, how you know, ready that horse was to run. It was my top pick to win that race. It did the damn thing. But now it gets picked up by Mike Maker and does one of those, like, out of the blue, what the fuck is going on, Mike Maker class moves, where he takes a claiming horse, puts it in a graded stakes race, and next thing you know, it's winning, a la, like, Dot Matrix. And so I think the pace works out for Zoomer. If you look at Zoomer, there's a steady improve. If you look, go from back to March at Aqueduct all the way through the July 17th start at Saratoga, figures improve each time. Or sorry, Mark Cassie, not Maker. That shit's on my whole angle, but I'm still going to go with it. I still like Zoomer. Cassie, 20% off the claim, 11% in graded stakes. Gets Joel Rosario up. That would be the most epic Rosarioing ever, I think, if Zoomer wins this. So I will win bet Zoomer, but I am singling Olympiad in my pick four. And then I'm going to play a little trifecta. That's 3-4 with 1-3-4 with all, because I could see a situation where Hot Rod Charlie and Life is Good really just get out there on the front and tear each other to pieces. And you know, it falls to another horse to pick up the pieces. Maybe Zoomer. God, I will be Rick fucking Flair if Zoomer wins this race.
Before we move on with Zoomer, another friend of ours, Sheldon, he gave out a stat maybe 2 weeks ago that said last 5 years, Mark Cassie, grade stakes, no Lasix, 0-42, which means he's due, right?
He's due. Yeah. It's that time, you know, that's when the guy who hasn't had a hit, you know, hits like a swinging bunt to third base and legs it out. You know, he was just due. It was just his time, man. I timed recording this podcast perfectly because race one at Saratoga that I'm very heavily invested in is going off right now. All right. We are recording this on Friday. Yeah, I like the, I'm with you on Olympiad though. That horse super game, whenever he kind of came back to beat Happy Saver on, was it Kentucky Oaks Friday, in May. Just, I mean, I think it's going to be tough to beat and everything works out for it. So I'm single and you were, what, Olympiad and Happy Saver?
Yep. That's who I liked.
I like it too. I'm throwing out Happy Saver against better judgment just because, I don't know. I think Zoomer is just fun to say is probably what it comes down to. So we are halfway through this pick four. We are going to take a quick break here at the Notorious OTB. We are going to get a word in from our sponsors. When I come back, me and Greg, a.k.a. Murph, are going to look at the last half of this late pick four for Whitney Saturday, and we might even have a bonus race. We'll be right back. Thinking of joining WynnBET? Now is the perfect time. Customers who bet $100 get a $100 free bet. If you're betting baseball, you have to check out WynnBET. Their reduced juice in baseball games makes them the best place to bet the MLB. Plus, WynnBET Casino is always open 24 hours a day where you can get a 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. There's so much to choose from. All you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET so they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Ryan Real Money Kramer will be drafting fantasy football best ball teams for 24 hours straight. Drafting starts on August 9th at noon Pacific. Crew will be raising money for Daryl, a loyal listener who was injured in a motorcycle accident. You can draft with Ryan and a ton of special guests. All the details at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/draftday. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/draftday. Welcome back to the Notorious OTB.
It's mine. I'm going to spell my name one more time. Check it. It's the N-O-T-O-R-I-O-U-S. You just lay down slow.
That's right. I'm going to keep doing it until Valletta Wallace tells me to stop. We are halfway through this pick five. We are moving on, or sorry, pick four. We are moving on to race 11. It is the Saratoga Derby, the Caesars Saratoga Derby Invitational Stakes. Man, it makes me long for the days where Yum Brands, when it was the Yum Brands Kentucky Derby, when I see Caesars on it. We are a WynnBET podcast. Thank you. This is a 1 3/16 on the turf. It is grade one, another $1 million purse. It's for 3-year-olds. Greg Murph brought up another excellent point, which is no LASIX. You have to pay attention to what is happening with LASIX in these races. So it's a little bit of a turf. I mean, it's a turf marathon. I thought there was a surprising amount of speed in this one. And so I felt like there was one really logical winner here. But I am going to kind of pat it. What did you come up with in race 11, the Caesars Saratoga Derby Invitational?
Yes. So I had a pretty tough time again with this race. But I think that's primarily because I wasn't really a big fan of the horses that were coming out of the Belmont Derby. At first I was kind of against Classic Causeway, but I still really don't know what to think about him. I agree. Right. I think there's a lot of speed in here, and that's kind of like my one knock against him. But that the last race for the Belmont Derby, it actually was pretty impressive, all things considered. Like, it's not like he was lone speed. Like, he did get pressed for like half of the race. Like, it wasn't like the Nara Special, right, where it's like they're going like 26 and 52. Like, they went pretty honest, and like he still went wire to wire. I felt like someone told me that towards the end of the meet, the Belmont turf was playing more like the Gulfstream Park turf, where it was more like concrete. So I went back and I looked to see, like, okay, on the inner turf, what was the track trend like? And on the inner turf, at or out in the final 2 weeks of the meet, only one horse went wire to wire, and that was Classic Causeway. And so I really struggled with my gut says to toss him, but it's hard to say I'm going to toss him because the last race really was that good. So I really don't know what to do with like Classic Causeway. As far as like the other horses I liked, like if you look at the Belmont Derby, really a lot of the horses, they did kind of stick around there, kind of that were up there up close, they kind of stick around, right? Like Grand Sonata, Nation's Pride, like they were all kind of within two, but there was one horse that really kind of closed from the back, and that was number 10 Stone Age. And so I think what I'm going to do here is use the 9 Classic Causeway, even though my gut says not to. I think I'm still going to use him because that last race really was just so good. And then I'm going to use Stone Age, the kind of on the chart, kind of the only closer from the Belmont Derby, since kind of everyone else stuck around. As far as Annapolis is concerned,
hard to figure out what to do with Annapolis, right?
Yes. So on paper, figure wise, he's the fastest. But I'm kind of more of like, okay, well then who did you beat? I'm not that kind of person. I think the Penn Mile like one, that race hasn't really come back as anything, but I think it's okay to put a line through that and just mm-hmm. think, okay, maybe Annapolis just doesn't like soft ground, right?
Right.
So then you're kind of left with the three races. Two of them are when he was a two-year-old, the last one being on 4th of July. And honestly, those fields are a bunch of nobody horses. No one has really come back to Ran from that non-graded stakes race last time. The Pilgrim has not come out very good, and there was only four horses anyway. The maiden race has not come out very good. And so it's kind of like, okay, well then like you're not facing nobody horses, right? These are graded winners, you know?
Right. With, you know, impeccable, like, European credentials for some of them,
yes,
too.
Yes. And so I think Classic Causeway and Stone Age, I think, are going to be the two that I'm going to use. I've kind of went back and forth on the number two, Grand Sonata. The horse is definitely slower. I really don't think he had any excuses the past. Like, I don't know what happened at the Churchill Down turf race, the Autobahn. But I know the Churchill Down turf course, like, I don't really play Churchill, but I know it was weird, and I know that it's, like, really all messed up right now. So I think I'm okay just saying, okay, I'm just going to scratch that race. But I don't know, like, Grant's not a, I really don't know. Like, that's another horse where it's like, I really don't know what to do with. I really didn't love anyone out of the Belmont Derby. And I wanted to find someone new. But all the horses that are new, I'm like, I'm not really interested in, you know? And then, you know, I also kind of look at Emmanuel, because I do think the horse probably will do better on turf. But if I'm going to take a horse that always wants to be on the lead, I'm going to take Classic Causeway instead of Emmanuel, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think really tough race. You could probably talk me onto a lot of these horses here, with the exception of Ethereal Road. Even Stolen Base, I thought you could make a good argument to say this horse is going to sneak into the tribe, because the last race, I think the horse is a lot better than the last race, even though speed figure wise, the horse is really slow.
Yeah, this is I think you bring up an excellent point with so many, you know, with so much speed and also with so many closers in this. This is a dinker surprise race where any horse could dink into third place into like a trifecta or anything. And I'll tell you what, I think we agree on something. I think we both like Stone Age quite a bit.
Look at us. Hey, look at us.
Look at us.
Huh?
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Stone Age actually was my top pick for the unfuckwithable Aiden O'Brien. He gets Johnny V up. He doesn't have Ryan Moore for this one, but I mean, the man's not a Hall of Famer for no reason. I think it's because he looks like an eagle, like head on, personally. I like Stone Age quite a bit. And I'll give you, this was my concern with Annapolis, and it actually had more to do with a pace setup, which was there was so much early pace. You know, I do my own bootleg time form pace projections. Mine go from right to left instead of left to right, because it's got kind of that like Vanilla Ice level of plausible deniability. No, this one goes dun, 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 dun. It's not the same. I thought that Annapolis, while getting a good pocket trip, could quite very easily get sucked into that early pace a little bit and really just end up being a victim of that pace. So I'm going to win bet Stone Age. I will play a trifecta with Annapolis and Stone Age on top. And then I was 6-10, so that's Annapolis and Stone Age with 6-8-10, Psydog, Annapolis and Stone Age. And then I was 4-6-7-8-9-10 in the third leg. Because like I said, this race has epic dinker potential all over it. When I use this horizontally, I'm not going to single Stone Age, though. I'm going to use Psydog. I'm going to double down and go too deep with Psydog. I don't know. I like this horse. I was heavy on that horse whenever it ran Kentucky Derby weekend. Didn't quite run up to expectations. It was a little bit of a weird turf course. I'm hoping that maybe second off, this horse will fire. It looks like when it was, you know, it has a history of taking like a big step forward in speed figure wise, second off of a layoff or second start. So that's why the Psydog. Man, it's an interesting race. It also feels like a prelude to American turf horses just getting donkey smashed in the Breeders' Cup later this year at Keeneland. So we both agree on Stone Age. You were Stone Age and Annapolis, is that right?
Stone Age and Classic Causeway.
Classic
and
Causeway.
Then maybe a little bit of Grant Sonata. I don't know. It's probably going to be a race day decision. And and you mentioned Side Dog. I also did like Side Dog. I mean, I have Side Dog up there as on my list of contenders. So
listen, I'm going to tell you, betting on a horse that shares the name with a Hyundai, never a winning angle.
Ladies and gentlemen, Simple Minds.
That was in reference to me, in my Hyundai reference, not to Greg. Greg is a very smart man. I often will ping Greg on Discord for medical advice, and he will tell me, I'm not a doctor. Go see a doctor. See, he is a very smart man. All right, this is it, the money leg. Race 12, mile and a 16th on the inner turf, and in straight up New York fashion, we've got a New York bred $88,000 maiden special weight to end the pick four. It's the money leg. This is where we get paid.
Time to get paid, blow up like the world's trade.
This I have one very specific angle that I'm using for my top pick here, but I'm very spread out here. So I have a feeling through us talking about who we like in this one, we might cover every single horse in the race. So I'll let you get, you cover the first half, I'll get the second half. Go for it.
All right. So I ended up on four different horses here. The horse that I kind of thought was the most interesting was the number six, Excursioniste, I think is how you say it. But I mean, the running lines, every single race, I kind of look at it and go like, what the hell is this? But on time form, the horse is the fastest of the field. Last time he got a 104. I don't know, like, I really don't know, like, what the hell they're doing with this horse. Cause like, first they're pressing the pace, next they're like 10 lengths back. So, but figure wise, the horse has pretty much improved in its last three. And on time form, it went 89, 92, 104. And so, Castellano rides. We all kind of know Castellano is the highest ROI jock of the meet so far. So horses 51 on the morning line, like maybe the ROI is going to go up even more. So I'm going to have him as my my top choice. The next horse who I liked is the number one, Bert. Lightly raced, got a 94 last time on time form. Hopefully the horse can get a step up from there. Not a ton of turf breeding though, which is why I'm kind of like probably second choice. And then third pick I had was the Chad Brown, number seven, Walk Him Down. Again, not a ton of turf breeding. There is some on the bottom with More Than Ready, but Nyquist not really a turf sire. And then also Chad doesn't use like what I think is like one of his go-to jocks, right? So like no Ortiz, no Franco, it's Tower Gaffalone.
Frosty Tips Gaff, man.
Yeah, so I don't know. And then the next horse who I had was the number two, Your Mission. I mean, I think the horse could step up for sure. Like, and horse did get a pretty fast time from last time, 96. So kind of on there. But I think at 5-2, like if you're going to ask me who would I rather pick, the 5-2 or the 15-1 or the 10-1, and they all have kind of similar figures, I'm going to pick the 15-1 and the 10-1. I mean, right. I could probably make the two my third choice, but that's kind of how I saw it with these was those four.
I went to a tried and true Caleb Knight angle here. I went with the Chad Furster because it's the only horse that I cannot definitively say sucks as opposed to the rest of this field. It's the only one that I don't know for sure sucks. This is a terrible field. I was really spread out. I used the three now. Curlin's Wisdom, because you do have a coupled entry here. So you have the two breaking from the rail. So the three breaking from the two hole for Linda Rice, Curlin's Wisdom. I mean, it had one good race where it looked like it showed early speed back at Aqueduct in November. I used Action Jackson because, I mean, how could you not? Just based off the name. Also, I mean, I like George Abreu. I feel like he's underrated as a turf jock. I mean, he was a Chad Brown assistant. He still gets some good Clarivic horses too, you know. So I would trust him to get a horse up in this one. So I mentioned the seven, Walk Him Down. And then I also use the 8 Dream Point, which typically I would throw this horse off my ticket because you have 10 chances to win a race. And if you don't, I'm fucking done with you. You're dead to me. It's time for you to take kids around an oak tree at their birthday party at that point. This horse hasn't won in 17 tries. There's some that I'll keep trying with. But yeah, I'll throw him on the ticket just in case. And then Blondie for James Bond with Luis Saez up. It seems like if it's going to be won by a horse that dares the others to pass it in the stretch, then I want Luis Saez up for that. So, I mean, the speed figures are respectable. Looks like it might have trouble handling the mile and a 16th, but who knows? Maybe we get like a AstroTurf course and speed just carries. So that was it. And also, I guess I threw in the second half of the coupled entry if it does draw in. If it doesn't draw in, I'll drop it off my ticket for Kelly Breen, Urugano. I have a feeling this one probably scratches out unless it's there with Gomez as a, you know, set up to try to get another horse to close late. It's just there to antagonize. We'll see. I'm not sure if you really see that because I think you have different trainers on the 1 and 1A. But yeah, so I ended up 1, 3, 7, 8, 9 there. Went wide. I don't mind going wide to finish out a ticket. So let me go ahead. I'm going to recap my entire ticket for everyone. It's the 2, 3, 5, 7 in the first leg because I'm trying to beat Matt Araya. Then I'm singling the 4 Olympiad in the next race. Then I was 6, 8, 10 Annapolis, Psydog, Stone Age. And then I finished with 1, 3, 7, 8, 9 at a 50-cent base. That is a $30 ticket, which is still a little bit wider than I typically go, but I'm trying to win for you guys. I don't know what to say. I'm trying to be that guy.
That's what I do.
You want to recap your ticket for me, Murph? Slash sure. Greg?
Yeah. So
Dr. Test, Gallowag.
In the test, I'm going to try to single Matt Araya, and then the Whitney. I'm going to use the Olympiad and Happy Saver. The Saratoga Derby, I'm going to do Classic Causewing Stone Age. And then in the last race, I'm going to go a little bit wider and use the 2 Your Mission, 6 Excursion Niste, the 7 Walk 'Em Down, and the 1 Burt Burt Burt. I have no idea what that ticket comes out to, but it's 1 by 2 by 2 by 4.
So 2 times 2, 4, 4 times 2, 8 times 4, 32, 16. Is that right?
Sounds good to me.
Yes. Arkansas public schools have not failed me too much. Guys, I crushed the first race Friday at Saratoga. I had to drop a red board into the old Discord chat from a pod recording, just out of the ether, drop my red board in there for everybody. All right, onto the bonus race. For this one, Greg, I need you to step into the imagination balloon, and we are going to fly across the United States to Del Mar, because we're talking about the Clement Hirsch, and as is tradition, we have to sing the imagination song. Imagination! Imagination. All right, we're there. Yes, we're throwing in a bonus race. We're on both coasts. We're looking at the mile and a 16th Clement Hirsch. It's a grade one, $400,000 for fillies and mares, 3-year-old and up. It's race 9 at Del Mar on Saturday. Post time is at 9 Eastern. Good God, that's late. Man, I thought this race was super tough. It's a short field. I have personal grudges with trainers in this that I don't bet, so it probably made it a little bit harder than it needed to be. What'd you think of the Clement Hirsch?
So unfortunately for the Clement Hirsch, I only saw it one way, and that was with She Dares the Devil. If you look at what they did with her last year, she is more or less running the same exact campaign. She didn't do the Ogden Phipps, they did the Fleur-de-Lis instead, but I mean, it's more or less kind of what they've done. I did beat her in the La Troyenne, because if you look historically, that was like from last year, that was her lowest time form. And then after that, she just kind of kept climbing from there. I didn't really have any interest in any of these other horses. The only one who I thought I might be interested in using is the number 7 Blue Stripe. But I mean, the connections aren't really that nice. The horse is a half to Breeders' Cup winner Blue Price, who won that like at San Anita, what was that, like 3 years ago or 2 years ago at this point?
Yep.
So I mean, the horse has some nice breeding, but figure wise the horse is slow. Like maybe as an exacta, maybe that would be the play, is She Does a Devil of a Blue Stripe for me. But otherwise, I didn't really have any interest in any of these other horses.
You know, it's weird. It's like She Dares the Devil runs worse on Lasix. So this is why I was against She Dares the Devil. And it just, this looks like such a huge pattern to me. I'd kind of like to look at the thoroughgraphs and see how those thoroughgraph figs look with like every third race, because it looks like every third race the horse throws like a triple digit Briz figure, and then it falls off for two, and then it throws a triple digit Briz figure, and then it falls off for two. Well, if it's going by that pattern, it just threw its triple digit Briz figure in the fleur-de-lis. So is it due for a step back? The horse had probably its worst performance in the BC Distaff, but at the same time, you can draw a line through every race at the Breeders' Cup last year. They were all just wonky as shit. I wish I had a more graceful way to say that, but they're just super fucking wonky. So I'm going against, it was another situation where, you know, I do my pace projections. I did one for this, and it felt like Blue Stripe just gets the perfect trip here, off the rail, stalking, has early pace to run into. It's going to have to run down the Brad Cox and, you know, Private Mission for that silver-haired fuck, Bob Baffert and Juan Hernandez, which is a tall order, which I thought that this horse might actually get the kind of like that rail rate and then just that classic like Bob re-break up the rail up to win this, which is probably how it finishes. I mean, the horse has won grade 1, grade 2 races, but in Argentina, at the same time, we've seen other winners come out of Argentina. You mentioned Blue Prize. Hell, Latruska came out of Mexico. So I'm going to take the shot with Blue Stripe. I'll bet Blue Stripe just straight up to win, because I have a feeling, I didn't look at the morning line odds, I have a feeling that all the money is going to go to She Dares the Devil and Private Mission. I don't see a world where Blue Stripe is less than 10-1. What do you think price wise? What do you think Blue Stripe gets?
I do think Blue Stripes does odds. I think they do go up. I think you probably will get somewhere in that 7-1 to 10-1 range, because like you said, like She Does Devil's 8-5, but she's not going to go. I think she'll probably be like 4-5. You know, I do agree that she's going to take all the money. I do think Private Mission will be next. Probably is going to be somewhere around the 2-1, 5-2 range. But after that, I mean, it's kind of up to the bettors on who they want to make the third choice, right? Because Blue Stripe is 4-1, Desert Bound's 5-1, and Soothsay is 5-1. So I didn't really have any interest in those latter two, but I could see where Blue Stripe, their odds end up going up to like 7-1 to 10-1.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, at that point, it's worth it. I'm betting with not only my, well, we'll say my head, but mostly betting with my grudge against Bob Baffert, which sometimes has won me money, but a lot of times just has not.
Is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
I'm going to show him, damn it. That is it. We gave you pick four. We gave you bonus races. We're going to take a quick break, get one last word in from our sponsors of the Notorious OTB, brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, and then come back for a little chit-chat with Greg. We'll be right back. Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right, without added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use IPVanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IPVanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed. I'm talking your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IPVanish. IPVanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and that's just like getting 9 months for free. IPVanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So go to ipvanish.com/SGP and use promotional code SGP and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. Do you ever get tired going from site to site, from book to book, chasing down the best odds or chasing down the best promos? Well, you can stop doing that. Why? Because of Odds Trader. Odds Trader is a place to compare odds from all major sports books. You can also compare the different sign-up codes and promotions from sportsbook to sportsbook to get the best deal. The app also provides player statistics, key game stats, injury reports, and projected game day weather for bettors to make the most informed bets possible. It also has a bet tracker so bettors can keep records of all your games and betting activity. Listen, they got all sorts of cool features. You got handicapping, play-by-play updates, live score, player statistics, key game statistics, projected game day weather, all the information you could possibly need. So, go to oddstrader.com/bluewire. Odds Trader, it's the number one site for all your game day bets. Welcome back to the Notorious OT Bump. It's a good thing I don't check my mail because those cease and desists are probably in the mailbox. Man, Greg, thanks for coming on. You're most definitely welcome back anytime. Welcome to Friend of the Pod status. It is a pyramid scheme. I will tell you that right away. You got big plans for the weekend?
No big plans other than to keep my cold streak going and to continue losing money. That's pretty much it. And yeah, you know, it's nice to be a part of the Wolf Pack, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I of course am the alpha. But yeah, great to have you, you know, underneath me here. Well, that sounded weird.
There goes Chester the Molester again.
My bad. My bad.
I don't mind. I love being under you.
Yeah, man. All right. Next time I make it out to the West Coast, me and Greg are getting together for, I don't know, beers and anime, probably. That sounds like a good day for both of us, you know?
Yeah.
All right, well, that is it for us here on the Notorious OTB. As always, we appreciate you listening. We'll catch you next week with even more Saratoga and Del Mar. We are...